When Michael Stein was a young doctor and his brother-in-law Richard was dying of cancer, Stein wished he had a better vocabulary with which to discuss the emotional experience of pain and sickness. It was something he came to better articulate and understand as he became a more experienced doctor. Now he's written The Lonely Patient, How We Experience Illness, a look at illness from the perspectives of patients he's treated. Through their stories, the book examines four feelings stirred by the experience of illness: betrayal, terror, loss, and loneliness. It's Stein's first work of nonfiction. He's written four novels. He's a professor of medicine and community health at Brown University Medical School, and he heads HIV clinics in Rhode Island and the Dominican Republic. Let's start with a reading from The Lonely Patient.
Pain often comes as a surprise. Because it is usually limited, because it is almost always finite, patients are not overwhelmed at first, but instead are angry. With the slow discovery that it can become chronic, that one can slide without transition into what the novelist and memoirist Harold Brodkey called a gray, oily, uncertainly lit sleeve of almost complete pain, the sense that the body is betraying one increases. There is the experience of pain and the knowing that it will continue. Surprise turns to disbelief, then anger and rage, and finally depression and despair. There is something appalling about waking every morning knowing that pain will soon return, that it is close and coming fast, that one will be alone with it for another day, unable to stop it. There is a descent toward resignation and helplessness.
That's Dr. Michael Stein reading from his new book, The Lonely Patient. I think for somebody who's really suffering, you know, there's your doctor who can, like, hopefully help you with some of the symptoms, but it can lead to such a kind of existential crisis, particularly if a patient is kind of almost at war with their body because they're so angry at their body for betraying them. And at some point, I think it's probably hard to tell whether you need, like, a philosopher, or, you know, a clergyman or a doctor.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do in this book is try to capture what it's like to have an illness and live through it in real time. And it's difficult for every patient to put into words their thoughts. And I've tried to provide here some sort of emotional vocabulary for patients, but frankly, when you don't know what's coming next, you're not sure whether there's going to be good news, you're not sure whether there's going to be bad news, you just don't know. I think it leads to a very complicated state where sometimes you're fearful and sometimes you're passive, sometimes you're selfish and self-absorbed, sometimes you're bitter. It's very complicated, and patients often take it for granted when they walk into my office that all illness is knowable. All the explanations will be apparent. And of course, they should think that to some degree. They wouldn't come to see a doctor if they didn't believe that their doctor would make their best attempt to know about their illness. But the fact that is that illness is not all knowable, that what I tell patients is often agonizing for me and for them, it's agonizingly imprecise.
So much of your book is to try to capture in words the sensations of illness. And I'm sure some of your patients are really, like, quite verbal and can describe really well what it is they're experiencing, what the problem is. And I would imagine that helps you understand the problem and better treat it. But I'm sure that a lot of your patients are not as verbal and have a more difficult time describing to you what it is that they're experiencing. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between treating verbal and nonverbal patients?
Well, I think it's more than being verbal and nonverbal. I think that there are some people who are not particularly curious about their illness. Even if they could speak about it, they don't want to speak about it, that speaking about illness is complaining, and people are brought up not to complain, and they know their doctors will reward them for not complaining. They don't want to speak of it because speaking of illness, complaining brings bad luck. Maybe they're superstitious and they may not speak about illness. But there are certainly people who don't experience illness or don't share their illness very much through words. And there are people who are ill who won't or can't tolerate introspection, who go through the process of illness in other ways. And there certainly are people like that. And that's just fine. People are different. And we have to approach them in other ways. We look for their gestures. We look for their face. They sometimes bring companions who they speak to in private. And we use the information that their companions bring. We have to be very careful listeners. But although I do think that the more people speak about these difficult feelings, their horror, their anguish, their losses, the better the chance of reducing some of their loneliness, some of the loneliness of illness. I don't think that, as you've said, speaking about illness is universal. There are certainly different styles of coping. But I do believe that whatever the style of coping, that illness brings on loneliness, and that loneliness is not a neutral emotion. Loneliness is a form of suffering.
You allude to something in your book, you know, that your father died in an emergency room when you were 13 years old. I guess I'm wondering what your memory of that is, and how it's affected, if at all, your how it affected your interest in becoming a doctor or the way you practice medicine.
Well, it's certainly been a theme in the novels that I've written. As you know, I've written four novels, and the idea of loss is one that comes up for me again and again. I think that the loss of my father at a young age, he was relatively young, and I was, as you said, 13. It was certainly instructive to me. I had no... He'd been ill for a while at that point, so I had had some knowledge of the medical system, and the medical system back then was a little more primitive than it is now, but it certainly engaged me. And of course, wanting to be a doctor involves some belief that you can save people, and I think that theme in my life of wanting to save people probably derives from wanting to have saved my father at that young age.
My guest is Dr. Michael Stein. His new book is called The Lonely Patient. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our conversation with doctor and writer Michael Stein. His new book, The Lonely Patient, is his first work of nonfiction. As we've said, you know, your new book is about describing illness from a patient's point of view. Has your work as a doctor and your work as a writer affected how you deal with your own, you know, your own bouts of sickness or pain?
Well, I'm as terrified as the next person. I mean, I know what's coming, and in some ways, that's frightening in itself. A lot of terror is about anticipation, as well as the discomfort and pain of procedures and things as well. I've been fortunate to be relatively well at this point, but I am absolutely as vulnerable to all of the things that I describe in this book as the patients that I describe, and I think that in some ways, that makes it easier for me. Now, does that come from writing? Now, writing is a procedure. When you write a novel or you write a book, that what you're trying to do is understand intimate relationships, and you're trying to understand what a person who's not you is feeling. And I think that experience of being a writer is in some ways similar to being a doctor, and they probably both inform the way I deal with my own illnesses, but I'm a baby too.
You know, you're very interested in people's descriptions of their illness and understanding illness from the patient's point of view, but are there times when you feel like a patient is like exaggerating their symptoms? And, you know, overplaying it a little bit for whatever reason, and you have to recalibrate what you're hearing?
Well, you know, I think that that doctors and writers do sort of detective work. that what we do every day is listen for people's lies, and we listen for people's secrets. And that's what's in novels, and that's what I see in my office. That I sort of sometimes think of myself as a spy with a polite expression. and you know, I'm really, you know, I'm paid to be skeptical. Now, I'm also paid to be sentimental, and I'm paid to be tender, but I'm paid to be skeptical and to try to make sense of what a person's telling me. And if they're embellishing and they're trying to take me in a different direction than the facts seem to indicate, I'm need to be alert to that. I need to be both sympathetic but aware, because my job is to tell myself and then to tell them a story that makes sense. And that's what I need to do. And if they're telling me a story that doesn't make sense, I'm going to need to understand that better.
What impact do you think it has on your, you know, like, worldview to always be hearing stories of illness and suffering? I mean, do you get a sense that that, you know, pain and suffering are inevitable? I mean, certainly death is inevitable, but being surrounded by pain and suffering all the time and absorbing all of those stories and writing down those stories, does it make you feel, you know, any more kind of fragile and anxious yourself?
You know, doctors hear many good things, too. It's not all sadness. I wrote a line in the book, I think, that says something like, I come to work each day expecting sadness. And that's true to some degree, that, you know, people are only going to come in and see me when they're in trouble, when there's something that's happening to them that's incoherent or dreadful, and they're full of dread. And it is hard to be in the presence of that all the time, because it threatens to overwhelm the patient, it threatens to overwhelm me. But my day is also filled with people who are coming in who are grateful, people who are getting better, people who have recovered from something, people who want to tell me that they were able to play with their kids again. It's not all bad news, and that's the wonderful part of the job, is that we expect sadness, but sometimes we get many other things.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Michael Stein, his new book is called The Lonely Patient: How We Experience Illness.